What's up, everyone? Welcome back to District Baseball. It is our District Nationals episode. I believe the fourth episode of District Nationals. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at the Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him on Twitter at Reverse, two R's, two S's, in the show at District BSB. We are recapping the Nationals week in baseball this week. Drop the series to the Pirates, drop the series to the Phillies. We'll talk about it all the good, all the bad, all the stuff we don't want to talk about. We have some kind of off the field stuff to talk about today. Some situations finally got their resolutions, so we'll address all of that. But first, Trey, what's going on?
Nick, the Nats, they were kind of rough this week. I'm going to be honest with you. They did salvage a game to that series today against the Phillies.
Yep.
But it was rough. It was rough sledding. Offense didn't look particularly great, and neither did the pitching. But there was a couple standout performances we'll get to. But yeah, no, I think we'll go ahead and talk about Steven Strasburg first.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, because essentially, if you're unaware, I'll quickly recap the saga. But basically, Steven Strasburg has been medically unable to return to pitching because of his various ailments, but mostly because of this thoracic outlet syndrome. Mm-hmm. And essentially, he has permanent nerve damage in his shoulder now and is unable to pitch. Basically, it was a kind of a dispute because he was still under contract, and the Nationals ownership did not insure that contract. So they were on the hook for all of it. And Strasburg wanted to get paid out, obviously, but he also wanted to retire because he couldn't possibly come back to pitch. And the Nats were kind of holding out because they didn't want to pay the full amount. We still don't know all of the details about what's going to be, how the payout's going to work. We know that he is going to get paid the full amount for the contract, but it's possible there's deferrals now.
No, there are deferrals. There's actually more deferrals than there were originally.
Yeah, I think that was the Nats' sticking point, was they didn't want to pay it all out.
Yeah, so they just spread it out.
Yeah, they spread it out a little bit more, but he's still getting the full amount, and that was kind of the hang-up. But they were able to negotiate that, so now he can officially be honored at Nats Park and retire and get his number put up and build the statue and give him make it called Steven Strasburg Park and give him ownership of the team and ownership of my heart. And but basically, we can celebrate Steven Strasburg as a franchise now, and that's nice. I'm glad that there's not going to be some kind of big dispute for years, because there's been beloved players for teams that have had issues with the franchise and haven't been honored for a long time. But luckily, that doesn't seem to be the case anymore with Stras. So that's good. Obviously, it sucks how everything had to happen, and obviously, he wanted to pitch a lot longer than he ended up being able to. But, you know, it's just good that there's not going to be this thing hanging over everyone's heads anymore. And Stras can be honored like he should by all of us. So,
right. And that's the thing, right? Get the recognition and the praise he deserves. Like he deserves everything, right? Obviously, injury aside, he deserves all the praise, all the money. Like, he is the most influential player in Nationals history, without question, in my mind, without question, more so than Harper, more so than Scherzer, more so than Zimmerman, honestly. And that's no disrespect to Zimmerman. I just think Steven Strasburg really took this team to the next level.
The way that he pitched in 2019, you can't.
Well, certainly
in terms of impact to the franchise, I will agree, because you know, his postseason performance, they don't get anywhere close to
without him
playing that well. I tweeted today something similar, which was that if Zimmerman wasn't already Mr. National, which rightfully so, he should be.
Yeah.
Because he was obviously the first pick for this franchise and everything, and he was instrumental. But I said if he wasn't already Mr. National, that Stras would be right in line to be Mr. National, because that's how much he means to this franchise.
Yeah, no one else should wear number 37. Obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, you see the number 37 hanging on my wall behind me. Like he was instantly my favorite player. Grant Paulson from Grant and Danny had a great point today. Like, Steven Strasburg, all the accolades on field speak for themselves, but he was really like the start, at least for baseball, the start of that hype prospect watching him through the minors and ready for the major league debut. Like, obviously,
Yeah, no, yeah.
since then we've had a lot of like eyes on major league debuts, but Strasburg was really the first where it's like, oh my God, we gotta watch. Everyone was watching his debut. Everyone. It was a sold out crowd, absolutely incredible environment. Obviously, you know, if you remember, if you're watching baseball at that time, you remember his insane numbers he put up at San Diego State. Just like, I think he struck out like 24 batters in a game or
Yeah,
something
he had like
absurd like that.
23 or 24
Yeah,
strikeouts.
he had like three no hitters in a row. Like, it was just, again, video game numbers don't do it justice, like how good
Yeah.
he was. And he lived up to the hype. That's so impressive in any sport, is living up to the hype. It's he's not going to get the history won't remember him the way he deserves to be remembered,
Yeah,
because
that's for damn sure.
right. So it's on us as Nats fans to remember him the way he deserves to be remembered. It's on the franchise, on the organization to remember him, to honor him the way he deserves. Build the statue, retire the number. And what sucks right now, again, outside looking in, you know, we not hyping ourselves up. We have some inside sources, but like, without being super plugged into what's going on behind the scenes, it seemed like there was a lot of tension between Strasburg and the team, right? Especially with the way this has all handled and the way it unfolded. And you know, he retired in like early August last year, and
Yeah, he wanted to.
he was supposed to get like this full Steven Strasburg Day retirement ceremony press conference, and the Nats canceled it. And you know, they expected him to report to spring training. He never did. Obviously they reached a resolution, but who knows how that relationship is right now. So that makes me nervous, because this guy deserves nothing but the best,
Yeah,
especially after putting
I
his
think
body
now
on the
that the
line. It just,
I agree. I just think that hopefully now that the money's settled, they can get past that, and we can. I'm pretty sure they'll have the official like retirement ceremony this year. Now that they've settled that, hopefully, I mean, you know,
yeah, one
I
can
guess
hope.
there is a small chance that they're still not cool, but you know, hopefully,
So that's the thing,
I want to look at the positives.
for sure. And I won't spend too much time on this, but for those listening, if you're plugged into the NFL, every year the NFL releases like these franchise report cards that the players vote on. It grades things like how they treat the families and the food and the weight room and things like that. I wish baseball did things like that, because I can only imagine what the Nats scores are. And that's not me being like a troll or just being a doom post or anything like that. There's just been several instances where players are unhappy with the Nats' treatment of them and their families. And it's concerning. Obviously, you want your organization to be like at the forefront to set the example. And it does not seem, again, from the outside looking in, it does not seem like the Nationals are one of those teams. Like, again, I'm not going to go down that road, but guys like Anthony Rendon, Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, like, they've all had, even Juan Soto to an extent, not as much Soto. I think his was just being a little bit more hurt that he was traded, not necessarily how he was treated.
Yeah, I think yeah, you're right.
So, but like, there's been several, and those are just the big names. There's been other names too. Again, not gonna go off on too long of a tangent. We have other things to get to, but I wish we could see just a little peek behind the curtain of how that franchise is actually viewed, or how
Yeah,
that
that is an
organization
interesting
is
thing that
actually
the
viewed.
NFL does for sure.
Yeah. And I think it
I
holds
don't
team,
think the owners like
right, for sure.
it.
But I also think it holds teams accountable too.
Yeah.
If you look at, granted,
It's
it's,
supposed to.
you know, just shifting to another DC team, the Commanders, Josh Harris got the report card. And granted, it was only his first year. He took over in like July, so like, it wasn't a lot of time for him to be able to do anything right before the season started. But I think the Commanders had like an F in terms of
Yeah, that's been for a
nutrition or
while.
weight room. No, not overall, but like nutrition or weight room. And he was like, he basically came out and said, I'm embarrassed. This is not how I want my team to run. Like, I think the accountability factor of that is super interesting. And I wish more sports did it, but certainly baseball, with you know, everything going on with the A's, and you
Yeah.
know, and they're not alone in that. So Anyways, that's kind of the wrap on the Steven Strasburg stuff. Hopefully we get a Steven Strasburg Day formal press conference, retirement ceremony, everything he deserves, all the flowers, because I can tell you my ass will be in that seat in attendance when that day comes. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So congratulations to Steven Strasburg on a absolutely wonderful career. Enjoyed every moment of it, the highs and the lows. He was the reason I became such a diehard Nats fan, and it sucks that like this is like the end of that chapter. We already saw it with plenty of guys leaving, like Scherzer and Turner and stuff like that, but Strasburg was the guy. And yeah, so a little bit emotional. I'm sure I'm not the only one in that stance. But all right, let's move on to the actual current team and talk about the news that's
Oh,
going
goody.
on.
Yeah, the
Yeah, I
current
know,
team, my
right?
favorites.
Real great transition to lift the spirits here. So they lost 2 of 3 to the Pirates. I called sweep. You called 2 of 3, so you get, or you
W.
called losing 2 of 3, so you got it right. And then they lost 2 of 3 to the Phillies, salvaged today. Mackenzie Gore looked excellent. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But we'll kind of do what we did last week and go position by position. It's just easier that way as opposed to going game by game. Starting with the catchers, I think that's kind of an interesting place to start. Keiper Ruiz has looked better defensively. I think there's still plenty of improvements to be made. But he's gotten off to a good start with the bat. Riley Adams has looked great. And not that he's like leagues better defensively or offensively or anything like that, but it's just nice to be able to give Ruiz days off and not have a huge step down in terms of offense or, I mean, defense. Not that the bar was exceptionally high defensively, but it's just nice to have that platoon mate that really can provide a boost. Like we saw him homer in his first game. I believe he drove in a run yesterday or today. He's look he threw out a runner today. Granted, it was Kyle Schwarber, but
He did, yeah.
throwing out runners, the thrown out runner. So he's kind of picked up right where he left off last year, and it just begs questions like when and how can this team get him more at bats without really penalizing Keiper Ruiz, right? But I think that's a good, it's not necessarily development, but coming off a fractured hamate, obviously that leads to issues with your swing and your power and stuff. It's good to see that it doesn't seem it like it's affected Riley Adams too much.
Definitely not. He's hitting the ball very hard. Even his RBI was a sac fly today, but it was a sac fly. It was a sac line out. I mean, he absolutely roped this thing to left field. So he's hitting the ball very hard. Ruiz's framing is noticeably better. I don't need, I think eye test shows that, and even and the
For
numbers back
sure.
it up. So that's a good development for him, because he was probably the worst framer in all of baseball last year. Pass ball has been better this year as well to start. So he's looked pretty good defensively. He just frustrates me with his approach at times, and this is the whole team, so it's not
Yeah,
really just
it's a
him.
philosophical thing.
But specifically with him, he is just so much better when he sees pitches in an at bat. And I'm cool with being aggressive on the first pitch if it's a good first pitch. But sometimes he and other players on this team have the idea that they're going to swing on the first pitch, no matter where it is, no matter where it ends up, they're swinging. And I hate that. So today the Nats were patient at the plate and they were better.
Yeah,
And
shocker.
I wish that it would just could be more consistent. But yeah, no, Riley Adams, yeah, it's just getting him more plate appearances. I mean, I think the solution is if Joey Meneses would just take a hike, but they don't want to get rid of him. So, I guess we'll have to deal with that. But he's not been very good to start the year. He had a decent day today, but other than that, he went on like a 0 for
Yeah, he's
23
been
or
terrible the
something.
past week, and yeah, I was going to talk about that when we got to the infielders, but we saw it at the tail end of last year, the how to facilitate that. Let's say Meneses gets hurt or does take a hike, Adams DHs, you call up Drew Millis, and
Yeah, there you
that's
go.
your he's the best defender of the three, right? Not to the level offensively, but that's fine because you'll take a really good defensive catcher as your backup platoon catcher. So it really complements everything super well. Maybe you get Adams more reps at first base. He's huge. He's like 6'4". Like, put him at first base. And like just develop his arsenal defensively so he doesn't always have to catch or DH to be in the lineup. With this team's lack of power, getting a guy that can hit, I don't think it's a stretch to say Adams has 20 home run potential if he has the at bats,
Yeah,
like
but
over a
we
full
just
season.
haven't seen enough to know
Right.
that. Like, we
Right,
just
exactly.
need to get him some more opportunities so then we can figure it out.
Yeah, so I think if they got him more playing time, you would see that impact in the lineup, especially with guys like Stone Garrett still out and on the mend. But I don't think they'll do that anytime soon. This is probably an after All-Star break type thing.
Yeah.
Even for Drew Millers, like he needs more development in the minors as well before he just sits on the bench for 3 out of every 4 days, you know. So just food for thought. Moving on to the infield, really interesting week for the infield, for several reasons. If we're just going from first to third around the diamond, Joey Gallo really turned it on this week.
Yeah,
Started off
pretty much the
really
first time, like including
right.
spring training, that he showed any pulse.
And I was panicked. Like, I'll admit, I hit the panic alarm really early at Joey Gallo just because of spring training, right? It was spring training leading into the start of the season. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to end so horribly in the realm of your Eric Thames and your Corey Dickerson. Like, this is going to be so bad. And to Gallo's credit, he, getting on top of the ball more. We saw the power on display twice. I don't know why you would throw Gallo a fastball right down the middle, but thankfully he did not miss. So he's doing what, we kind of hoped slash realistically expected. Like his slash line, not slash line, but he's batting 200 with the 854 OPS. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I will take it.
Hey,
Like,
he's getting up there. He's putting good at bats out. He's walking a good amount, and
yeah,
yeah, he's provided some
he
power.
should have had another hit today. Christian Pache, the
Yeah,
Philly
no, you
center
got
fielder, had
robbed.
a
You hit the ball very hard today.
great catch. Yeah, so Gallo's on a really good path right now, providing juice to the middle of the lineup. Luis Garcia, that's another one where I think a lot of guys were low on him. Even the team and the managerial staff was low on him, and he had a game with three doubles against I think it was against Pittsburgh, the game they won. He's leading the team in OPS. And of course, he was batting ninth today because why wouldn't he be?
Davey.
But he's looked much better, much more comfortable. The questions, or I guess areas of concern, come on the left side. CJ Abrams hurt his hand sliding into second base. That was kind of the speculation. That's what it was from, but it was definitely like his thumb, may hopefully just jammed. It doesn't seem
I
like.
think they said bruised pinky.
Yeah, so oh okay, bruised pinky. So I
So
don't think it
he should be
was
all right.
anything too serious. Thankfully, nothing broken, nothing fractured. So he should be back after a short hiatus. He missed the second game and third game versus the Phillies, with Nestim Nunez and Ildemar Vargas filling in for him defensively. Obviously, you want him back as soon as possible, but thankfully, it doesn't seem too serious. It's good that they're exercising caution with Abrams, but certainly the sooner he's back, the better. And then third base, Trey Lipscomb got off to a great start. Super exciting to see. He's really cooled off since then. It's kind of to be expected. Really young rookie, came through the minors really quickly. It's not going to be a linear progression. He's going to have ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys. The problem for Lipscomb is Nick Senzel is suddenly back. He's, I believe today, recording this on, or no, sorry, Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday, he is joining Rochester for on a rehab assignment, only like 10 days after he fractured his thumb. So that leads me to believe he's going to be back sooner rather than later. He'll probably play like a week in Rochester. So basically, Trey Lipscomb has a week to prove he belongs in the majors, specifically offensively, because defensively he's looked great. But even if he looks great offensively, I think he would be the one to be sent back down. And they're going to give Senzel immediately, just hand it over, regardless of what Lipscomb is doing. So we'll see. They could keep Lipscomb around, but I don't know who would be the odd man out. And I don't know that they would want to do that because Garcia is playing well. And they don't want to have Lipscomb just sit on the bench every 3 or 4 days, like I mentioned with Millis. So Lipscomb's probably his days are numbered temporarily in the major leagues, if I had to guess.
Yeah, and that's the right move right now. You know, it's fun to have a guy come up and play, but like he needed to be in AAA for a little bit, and they wanted him there, and it just didn't happen. The option of keeping him and Senzel, which they kind of seemed like that's what they wanted to do, and like they called up Lipscomb, and then Davey was like, "Yeah, we wanted to play everywhere." And then I was like, "Okay, well, so you want to eventually boot Garcia, which seems like they wanted to do that, but unfortunately, Garcia's making them all eat it." So if Garcia's playing this well, there's absolutely no way that you can DFA him because someone will pick him up.
Yeah, without
And
question.
yeah, he's leading the team in OPS. His defense looks great. He hasn't made a single mental mistake yet. Which was like everyone gets on him about that, but you know, not on some other guys we'll get to. But he's looked really comfortable out there, and he's, I mean, he's hitting ninth for some reason, but
Yeah,
hopefully they'll
Lefty
get
was
him
on the
up.
mound today, but it's
Yeah,
still
which I get that to an
inexcusable.
extent.
It's inexcusable.
I get that to an extent, but ninth, maybe sixth. He should be hitting like
Yeah.
second the way he's hitting right now
Especially with
because.
Gallo and Winker retaining their normal spots.
Yeah, I know. Well, he moved Winker to two against the left. It doesn't make sense. Anyways,
Yeah, anyways.
Garcia's been really good. Abrams has been really good too. He's just currently has a minor injury, but he should be fine. But yeah, the infield is they kind of played well this week as a whole. Lipscomb wasn't great, but you know, Abrams was pretty good. Garcia's been good. Gallo was really good, and then even Vargas has played all right when he's played. So.
Yeah, he had a nice defensive play to turn two today.
Yeah, he's hitting okay as well. So,
Yeah, that's fine. Him in that role is fine. It's just him as a starter, like they tried to do last year. That's where it really
yeah.
was annoying. Yeah, but let's move on to the outfield because just like the infield, there's really interesting storylines to talk about. The first being Victor Robles finally got a start. He didn't start the first two or three games of the year. Looked good. Like you could see the progression made specifically at the plate. Like he wasn't chasing, he was drawing walks. I think he stole a bag or two. So you could see kind of the bounce back-ishness. You could see the vision for that, you know, path, so to speak. And then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're any sort of familiar with Victor Robles's game, he's going to be out for some time, regardless of what the reports say, regardless of 10-day IL versus 60-day IL, he's going to be out for some time. So in his stead, they called up Jacob Young, which is notable for two reasons. One, they called up Young over Alex Call, which is good because Alex Call is still on the 40 man, and they easily could have called him up. I think the difference is Young has options and Call doesn't. But in my head, my headcanon is that they just like Young better than Call. So I'm going to stick with that. And two, I had Jacob Young being my kind of breakout Nats performer of the year. Not that he's going to be an all-star, but I think he's going to be a really good contributor to this team in his role. And obviously, he had to be on the team to be that breakout guy. And now he's on the team. And I envision him being that on the team for some time, because I think Robles will be out for some time. Bat leadoff today, had a single, finally got a hit in the scorebook, plays great defense,
He had an
great
awesome
speed.
double play that he turned today as
Yep.
well.
Yep. So stole a base on got picked off and still stole the base. Like that's
Yeah,
how
that
good
happened
he
twice
is.
today.
Yeah. So really, really excited about Jacob Young. I think he's gonna be a nice role player. Like that by breakout, I mean he's gonna be a really legitimate role player.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited for that. It is kind of interesting to see that Eddie Rosario is the odd man out, but I think that is in large part just due to how well Jesse Winker is playing. He's looked really good in the outfield comparatively to what we know Jesse Winker to be in the outfield.
Definitely.
So it's kind of surprising how much better he's playing. He's had multiple outfield assists already in the year. A nice catch up against the wall today or yesterday. So he's looked more than fine out there. There's gonna definitely be times where they sub him out late in the game as a defensive for a defensive replacement. So but it is nice to know innings 1 through 7 or so, he can hold his own out there. He's had to make some tough plays, he's been able to make them. But the real issue, call a spade, is Lane Thomas. Lane Thomas, he's had some hard lineouts that could be hits, but like genuinely, that's the case for a lot of players throughout baseball. And at the end of the day, like the stat sheet matters, right? And he's just not hitting well. His hit today was just kind of like a swinging bunt. And you know, that's baseball, right? The hard ones get caught, but the swinging bunts get you on base and it goes at a hit in the scorebook. So I get that. But like he just has not looked great offensively, which I think many people could have told you last year was not sustainable, but he has looked awful. I cannot stress how bad he has looked defensively. And it's kind of crazy because he's athletic, he's fast. There's no reason he should be that bad defensively, but he is. Like, if there's a ball hit over his head, he is not catching it. He's just not. And even though they had him, it kind of started last year, have him playing deeper, so there's fewer balls over his head and more in front of him, so it's easier to read. Like, he's making horrible decisions. Like, I can't remember who it was who hit the triple, where I think it might have been Alec Bohm, where Tom sort of like slides or tries to make a diving catch, but like
One of the worst
it
reads I've
wasn't,
ever seen in the outfield.
it wasn't like he went all out and just missed it. It was,
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just gonna flop myself at this
I'm gonna
ball.
throw myself at it and see what happens. And like the thing is, he has a really strong arm. I don't know if he led the league in outfield assists, but he was up there in outfield assists last year.
Yeah,
So
he
they're
led
gonna,
the, or he was second behind Nolan Jones, I think.
So they're gonna leave him out there because this team is just so stubborn when it comes to not wanting to be wrong. We've seen it time and time again. And they're gonna want to not be wrong about not trading Lane Thomas. And Rizzo's gonna want to stand on the idea that Thomas is a part of their future, which he might be, he could be, but not in the role they want him to be,
Yeah,
right?
that's definitely
Not as
true.
their everyday right fielder. And will he get better? I'm sure he probably will, both offensively and defensively. But right now it is horrible. And I cannot, like, he looks worse than Kyle Schwarber in the outfield right now. And that's not like an understatement.
I think the bat is his bat will be fine. Like he'll get it back up to like league average somewhere, you know, within 15 points of league average and above or below, you know, that's kind of his range. But defensively, it's like a joke,
It's
honestly.
bad.
Like
It's real bad.
he looks like he's never played baseball before right now. Like, and you know, everything going over his shoulder is impossible for him to catch. And we're not even talking about like leaping at the wall. Like he doesn't even get back to the wall. The ball will like there was one against the Reds that he let go over his head and kind of just stood there, and then it landed on the warning track. And I was like, you could have just caught that, dude. Like
Yeah,
stay
that
you
one
could have
made me real
sta you
mad.
could have
I
been
think that was
standing
opening day
up.
too.
Yeah, you could have been standing right there and caught that. Like, what are you doing? And yeah, the one yesterday against the Phillies is not really an exaggeration, one of the worst reads I've ever seen in the outfield. What was he th
I
what
don't
was he
know.
thinking?
I
I don't
really
even
don't
know.
know.
I can't even fathom that. And that's not an error, by the way, because baseball scoring is stupid. So then Jake Irvin gets dinged with an RBI on the next play, and he should have never given one up. So yeah, he's gonna have to figure it out because this is not gonna work for anybody if he can't under like I don't know. He had a bad first half defensively last year and kind of picked it up. So hopefully they can, they need that. He needs to go out there for some early work at like or something. I don't know
I
what they
really
got
don't
to
know.
do, but he's got to be fixed.
Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at Menards.
All right, let's move on to the pitching. Marginally better than week one.
I think offense was worse, definitely, but pitching was somewhat better.
You just mentioned Jake Irvin is like the epitome of like a five starter. Just keeps you in games. Won't win you games, will lose you some games, but more often than not keeps you in games.
He was pretty good yesterday. Yeah. I mean, he hung a curveball to JT Realmuto, and that was basically the difference. Because he gave up four. One of those was previously mentioned Lane Thomas's fault. And then he had two outs in an inning with nobody on, and then kind of it fell apart. The inning. But yeah, it's just really just the one hanger. He was pretty good.
And by like fit five starter, I don't mean that as a slight to him. This team needs
he is
that.
A good
Every team
starter.
Needs that. So I'm very comfortable with Jake Irvin pitching every fifth day. I think he's looked good and no real notes. It's just, again, keeping realistic expectations for him, for sure. Mackenzie Gore looked great today. I guess we should probably end with that one because that's one of the higher notes.
definitely.
Josiah Gray. And this is going to have to be a separate episode to talk about everything we need to talk about with Gray. Like,
if this continues, for sure.
If panning meter is 1 to 10, I'm at, like, a 6.5.
I was going to say I'm at, like, a 17.
Are you really? Okay. I think he can be okay. I don't think he has the support to get him there.
That's my issue. That's exactly my worry is this organization.
He throws 7 pitches, and I don't think he – when you throw 7 pitches in an outing, think about it. He's probably averaging 80 pitches a game, 7 pitches, right? And, you know, just skew it towards a fastball. Like, let's say his curveball, for example, is his best pitch. He might only throw like 11 curveballs in an 80 pitch outing.
He threw like 5.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not utilizing him in the best way. He doesn't need to be a jack of all trades, throw everything at you kind of pitcher. Like, he needs to fix the fastball. It's so incredibly infuriating and frustrating to see him miss arm side over and over and nobody fix it or even try to fix it.
3 years. That's his miss.
It's been same issues
since we got him
over and over and over. But rather than teaching him mechanically or set up on the different side of the rubber or whatever, they're like, oh, we'll just teach you a cutter and a sweeper, so that way it moves right to left and it's going to fix the arm side issues. Guess what? It doesn't. Because if you miss arm side, you miss arm side. Like, that's the way it goes. Yeah. His mechanics are jacked and stop.
Narrow down the arsenal to 4. Like, the 7 pitch nonsense has got to go. I think since he started throwing a sweeper last year at the midpoint, everything else has gotten worse.
Like, the sweeper
itself is fine. It's like kind of okay, but like,
he has
slider,
a cutter and he has a slider.
The slider is gone. Like, that was his best strikeout pitch for 2 years and at the beginning of last year, and it's just gone. I don't know where it went. He can't throw it for a strike. It doesn't move. I don't know. He's got to find that pitch. That is the key. Really has to find that pitch again. And if that means getting rid of the sweeper, that means getting rid of the cutter, get rid of them.
Yeah, so I would definitely get rid of those two first.
I mean, the cutter's okay, but like, it's just like,
I'm okay
not
with
at the cost
trying,
of the slider.
Yeah, I'm okay with trying to teach him a changeup. I'm a huge fan of the changeup, so I'm cool with that, but I don't think it needs to be a priority. Curveball, for sure. Everyone needs a fastball. I would like it to be like a two-seam or sinker. But I don't know if
that's what he was throwing more this last start anyways.
I don't know how good the sinker is going to be because his extension is terrible. So, you know, it might have to be a two seam, but two seam, four seam, sinker, some sort of fastball, curveball, slider change. Like, it just, let's keep it simple.
Simplify.
It's just infuriating.
That's apparently what Hickey's thing is keeping everything simple. According to him,
seven pitches, not simple, man. It's not simple. Infuriating.
We might, if depending on what happens, we might actually have to do a separate episode.
Just the Josiah Gray episode, because I'm a huge Josiah Gray fan, but
Yeah,
it's
me too.
like
He's I love him.
it's hard to defend him when it's like it feels like so much of this is not his fault,
Yeah, I don't know.
and that sucks. But all
The
right,
gore was good.
let's shift gears a little bit. Bullpen I thought was really good this week, outside of Tanner Rainey, and that's someone we haven't talked about a lot. Tanner Rainey just does not look comfortable. Call it rust coming off the Tommy John. It certainly could be that, but he's not necessarily in being used as a high leverage situation. Weems, Harvey, Finnegan, outside of Finnegan's one explosion and Harvey's one kind of hiccup, they've been great. So it's
Weems,
like
dude.
if you have a 7-8-9, you don't need Rainey to be a high leverage guy. But even in low to mid leverage situations, Rainey's just not good. He just hasn't been good. They're going to give him leash because the potential, the talent is there. But he's kind of been the outlier on an otherwise pretty good bullpen. And then, like I said earlier, I'll let you talk about it since I talked so much about Gray. Mackenzie Gore looked excellent today.
Oh yeah. Well, just quick mention about the bullpen. Weems looks amazing. And Robert Garcia looks really good. He's dotting up
Really good
97.
pickup last year.
Yeah, I mean
Credit where credit is due.
they yeah that those are a couple pickups right there from the last couple years that have actually worked out. So good job, Rizzo, I guess, on
Ish,
those.
ish.
Yeah, and then yeah, Mackenzie Gore today just had it working with like pretty much every pitch. I mean the curveball wasn't amazing, but the fastball
You take
the
away
his
Sosa
fat.
today and
He's
Gore
got the best
dealt.
fastball in the game right now, I think. Like, not, he's touching 99 with like this insane extension and
Dude,
vertical
99
break.
up in the zone is just like poetry.
Yeah, and
I like 99 up in the zone better than like a freeze him curveball.
yeah,
I'll
no,
die on
I
that.
think especially when you have his extension, it doesn't look like 99, it looks like 103.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, and he's throwing that on his last pitch. Somebody pointed out to me on Twitter that's what Max Scherzer used to do. Throw his hardest pitch on his last pitch. And that's what Mackenzie Gore did today. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I'm really excited for the way that his stuff looks. I think hopefully he'll have some outings where he can get, into the seventh, into the eighth maybe,
Yeah,
and
that's
really
what the missing.
establish, I know, it's just really establish himself as that top of line guy, because that's what you need. You have to have innings. He went 5 2/3 today and probably could have
Could have
finished.
gone longer, yeah.
But I'm totally cool with
Yeah,
Davey not doing the thing that he always
for
does.
sure.
And speaking of that, by the way, last week we predicted Monday's pitching stats. And Nick was literally so close to being exactly right on the prediction. We were both pretty
Damn
close,
right.
but you were damn close.
Yeah.
I think you were like one strikeout off.
I
So
was. I said
pretty
seven
crazy.
strikeouts. He had six.
I figured to end the episode, if we're gonna have Monday games that we can't talk about, let's just predict them. Let's
Let's
predict
do
what's gonna
it.
happen.
Let's do it.
So I believe tomorrow is a Trevor Williams start.
Trevor Williams and San Fran, I believe.
Yeah, so let's try and predict what this game could look like. What are you thinking for Trevor Williams tomorrow against the Giants in San Francisco?
Okay, so I'm gonna. It's not their first road series of the year, but it sort of is because they started on the road, and so this is the first time they started. They were at home and they have to leave, and they don't have an off day in between. So I'm expecting it to be a little bit more rough, not just for Williams, but in general. Williams looked okay-ish, certainly better than I anticipated in his last start against the Pirates, or first start against the Pirates, also his last start. I guess I was correct. The Giants haven't quite clicked offensively. I think they'll get there. And their Oracle Park is not the most hitter-friendly park. So I think Trevor Williams will go 4 1/3. I think he will allow six hits.
Okay.
And so I'm going to say 3 runs, but he exits the game with runners on base, and then whoever comes in gets out of it.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say 3 runs as well. I'm going 5 innings because I think Davey will want to get him through five.
And then I'll say 2 walks, 2 strikeouts.
Okay.
Nothing
Yeah,
crazy.
That's probably, yeah. I mean, he's not really a strikeout guy. I'll give him 3 Ks, two walks. And then, for the whole game, I'm expecting this to be a low scoring one
For sure.
of course,
I
the
don't know what the
Giants have
matchup is.
waited until. Oh, you don't? Good. Let me
Oh, Blake
enlighten
Snell.
you.
It's Blake
It's
Snell.
Blake
That's right. That's
Snell.
right. That's right. That's right.
So that's the fir his first outing is against the Nationals Monday. So we'll see how that goes. I'm predicting a 4-1 final Giants win.
Yeah, I'll tail 4-1 sounds
Four to one.
about
Yeah,
right.
low scoring, but I'm ex yeah, the Giants will do enough to take us down.
Yeah. So, do you think that they win the series against the Giants?
No, I'll give them a 2-1 again.
Yeah, yes, that's where
They
I'm
seem to
going.
like to salvage the
They love
series.
salvaging the series.
Yeah.
Okay, but after that, they play Oakland.
Yeah,
The
that's
Athletic A's.
the Athletic A's.
Do they win their first series of the year against the A's?
I'm gonna say. It's
It's so sad that
tough.
this is like a debate.
Yeah, you know what? I'll give it to us.
We used to be kings.
I'll give them the series win. Not a sweep, 2-1. Probably closer than it should be. But I'll give them the series win against the A's.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the pitching.
A's can hit, though. They can hit. I don't know if
Well,
they have any
for
pitching
now, until
matchups
they
listed.
demote them to AAA.
Yeah.
So yeah, William Snell tomorrow. We're recording Sunday night. Josiah Gray, Kyle Harrison. That's a good pitching matchup. And then Jordan. Oh wow, I forgot Jordan Hicks is a starter for them. Jordan
Yeah.
Hicks, Patrick Corbin, Wednesday, and then.
Gore's
Oh,
gonna pitch against the A's, so
yeah.
that's hopefully a W.
Yeah, so there's no the starters are not listed.
Yeah.
It's a little too
Should
far
be
out.
Irvin, Gore, and back to
Williams.
Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like Irvin and Gore against the A's,
Yeah,
so
so I'll go 2 wins, 1 loss against the A's.
cool. Yeah, I think that's
So
probably the
we're
fair
in
prediction.
agreement. In
Yep.
agreement.
Yeah, that's
Boom.
fun. I like that. If we have some Monday games going forward, we can predict the stat line.
100%.
Because you were really close on
Oh
that Gore
man,
one.
there's nothing better than a nice whole
Nothing
victory
better
lap.
than being right.
Nothing better than a victory lap where I can just show everyone that I was right. I knew
Absolutely.
it. I felt it in my plums. All right, so that kind of does it for this District Nationals episode. I think we touch on a lot of the main points. We'll see what changes, what improves, what regresses over the next week. On the first, again, first real official road trip in my mind, and it's a long one.
Yeah, West
They're in
Coast.
West
Yep.
Coast for like 9 games, 10 days, something like that. It's a long stretch, so they'll
We'll
be
get to talk
tested.
about, we'll get to preview the Dodgers series next week.
Yeah, can't wait for that. But yeah, it'll be a tough test early in the year for the Nats. So we'll see how they respond. Trey, any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
I'm hoping that CJ will it will
Yep.
be fully healthy soon, and he should be, judging by what they've said, and get back right back to what he was doing, because he was really hitting the ball well, playing great defense, and that duo up the middle has been playing really good, so I'm excited to see that continue, hopefully.
Yep. Mine is just that the one run games or the close games. Yeah, they won one today. It's not a sticky stat, right? So they had a
Yeah.
really good record last year in one run games, and that led to a better than expected record at the end of the year. This team, I said it last week, this team is the exact same as last year, the exact same in how they operate and how the games pan out and all that stuff. The one thing I think changes is that record in one run games or close games. I think it ends up being a lot more 50-50, maybe just below 500 than whatever it was last year. I don't remember exactly, but it was a really kind of outlier record in one run games. So this team might not necessarily take the step back, right? They might just be who they were last year, and the record is more of an accurate reflection on them.
Yeah.
So take that for what you will, but that was the prevailing thought for me. It's just like, man, this team is like exactly the same, salvaging a game in a three game series where it looks like they were not in control at all.
Very, very similar to them in the way they operate.
Yeah. So we'll see what this road trip has in store. But that does it for this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Our handles are below. And if you're not already, follow us on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Trey does great work out there. And on TikTok as well, at District Baseball. We appreciate listening. We'll be back next week with District Nationals 1.5. And in the meantime, let's go Nats.
Let's go Nats.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.